I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Monday, December 14th, and I'm Lauren Wood, co-hosting, stepping in today, helping co-host The Memo, here with W. Derek Russell.
I like how you did the hand gesture.
Yeah, you can't
see
it. That
they can't see. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good.
Have you recovered from the last 9 weeks?
Yes. Yes. It's very good to just like, I'm like, oh, Sunday, I can just
do nothing.
Like, have an evening. We watched Home Alone.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good Sunday.
Yeah.
As we're a week away from Christmas. Mm-hmm. I was hoping for a nice, relaxing Sunday at work with nobody up here and quiet. And I got quiet. Well, no, I didn't get quiet. It was there was a lot of battery backups beeping at me all day. Mm-hmm. We had, due to the wind, we had no power.
And it went on and off, didn't it? It
was like, for about an hour, it went on and off. And then for about 5.5 hours, there was no power whatsoever.
And that's really hard.
Which I don't know if you ever put out a newspaper before, but you know, it's kind of difficult to do without power. So it was fun. The water and light, Tupelo Water and Light, were very quick to respond.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know if they did a quick fix until they had more hands on deck until today, because once the wind started kicking up really bad again last night, we lost it again about 3 more times after 8 o'clock. So that's okay.
Crazy evening.
It makes you more appreciative of electricity.
Yes.
And reporters who come in and flick the light switches on really fast, thinking that's going to fix the problem. It doesn't. I hate to tell you that.
No.
So we are a week and a half away from Christmas.
Jeez, really?
Yeah. Have you done Christmas shopping with all your... Yeah.
Everything's wrapped.
Wow.
I just like have to get ready to go north.
When are you going north?
The 23rd.
Michigan girl.
22nd, 23rd.
When do you return?
I don't know yet. I got to figure that out. I'm driving. So,
you don't know yet.
Well, I got to figure out between all of our schedules, like who's going
to
be
when
where
you have
and
to be
when.
Back.
Yes, yes, essentially.
You make it sound open-ended, like, I don't know if I'm coming back.
Yeah, I was
like,
getting kind of nervous there. It was a one-way ticket or
see
something.
See you, Memo. Out.
Bye, everyone.
No. So is Christmas like your favorite of the holidays? Is that your...
Yeah, and it's pretty big. Like, we have 3 Christmases, and then we do like a friend lunch and stuff. Like, it's I didn't go home for Thanksgiving because I'm saving up to go home for Christmas and just like see everyone.
So do you know a lot of Christmas like trivia?
I don't think so.
Like,
I don't know.
Can you name all the reindeer?
Yeah, probably. Don't ask me to do it right now.
Dasher and Dancer and
Prancer
Richard
and
Nixon.
Vixen. Donner and Cupid and Comet
Richard Nixon.
And
yeah.
Blitzen.
I think you name him twice.
Oh, probably.
Don't forget about Rudolph.
Yeah, that's true. The most famous
reindeer. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of them all? Well, good deal. Well, we're going to be talking about a slightly different holiday today.
Yes.
Hanukkah. I can't put the hard H on it. Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. Where we light the menorah for
the Festival
eight
of Lights.
Nights. So you and Riley, you did a photo essay.
Yes.
You're in focus in today's paper. Today's Daily Journal was on this, and Riley had a story centerpiece on the front page for today. So, interested to talk about that, as well as Bobby Harrison join us. So, we'll get started. Well, moving in, we're talking to Bobby Harrison now, our Capitol Bureau reporter from the great metro of Jackson, Mississippi. Bobby, how are you doing?
Hey, Derek, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Good to have you.
All right, well, good to be here.
I know you're traveling, so we will we won't take up your time too much at the moment. But I just want to talk to you a little bit about the IHL and the discussion of whether or not it's the best idea for these the College Board to be divvied up to govern over the different universities or not, and apparently a lot of people are feeling the same way.
Yeah, well, you know, Derek, this sort of came to the forefront last March when the College Board opted not to renew the contract of Ole Miss Chancellor Dan Jones, and that was a controversial move that upset a lot of people. And at that time, there were people, I mean, and this has come up before, but at that time there was a pretty loud hue and cry for changing the governance system for the 8 public universities. Right now, Mississippi is kind of unique. I mean, there's other states that do it our way, but we have one board of trustees of state institutions, Higher Learning, that governs all 8 public universities. And in some states, you have a separate board, say, that governs the University of Alabama and Auburn University, for instance, and And some people really think outweighs the best. Other people think that it kind of cheats the large universities. And after the board opted not to renew the contract, Dan Jones, Senator Greg Tollison from who represents the University of Mississippi there in Oxford, and some others, including Steve Holland there in Lee County, state representatives, started talking about changing the governance system to have separate boards for each of the eight public universities. And legislation was filed last year during the 2015 session. But this all happened so late in the session that we didn't have time to go anywhere. Such a complex issue that it was filed past the deadlines, and they had to suspend the rules, which would have taken a 2/3 vote, and man, it would have been just a real tough sale to get it done. I talked to Gray Tollison and Steve Holland last week. They both are still interested in looking at this issue during the 2016 session, which starts in January. And so we'll just see where it goes then. What Senator Tollison talks about is still having an overall board that does stuff like divvy up state funds, make sure universities aren't duplicating each other as far as what majors they offer and stuff like that, but then having a separate board at each university sort of centered around the foundations, the foundation boards that which are fundraising boards that a lot of universities have. And have them have a look at things like hiring and firing and some of those things. So, I think it'll be a hard sell to push it through the legislature this year, especially after since the sort of the controversy about Dan Jones has died down some. But it'll still be at least an issue where there'll be some bills filed to at least look at that.
What are some of the cons that would be involved in moving towards a system like this where we've got one larger board governing over smaller ones?
Well, I mean, in a lot of aspects, especially for a small state like Mississippi that does have eight public universities, which some people would say is a lot for a small state the size of like Mississippi, a small poor state like Mississippi, where there's limited state funds. That having one overall board that kind of sets policy is a more economical way to do it. You get more bang for your buck. Plus, it's just going to be tough to get through the legislature for the simple reason that the college board is in the Constitution. I mean, the college board is not set up just by general law by the legislature, but it's actually in the state Constitution. So to change it, it would theoretically take a 2/3 vote by the legislature or a public citizen-sponsored referendum, and then a approval by the electorate during a general election. But Tollison seems to think that some changes around the edges, such as what he's talking about as far as creating a separate board to deal with the issues like personnel, could be done without having to change the Constitution. I mean, that might, people might disagree or agree on that, and it might end up going to the courts, but that he seems to think that could be done just through general legislation. But those are the major cons that for a small state, it makes sense to have one board, and then it's also set up the Constitution, so it'd be hard to change for that reason.
All right, we'll see what happens. Bobby Harrison, thank you for your insight today.
All right, thank you. Y'all have a good day.
You too, sir.
Okay, so we have Riley here. Now we're going to talk about, we both went and worked on this story about Hanukkah, Festival of Lights, when we went the first day of Hanukkah to celebrate with a family, a couple families here in Tupelo. And so how familiar were you with Hanukkah before?
In my reporting, I have covered other Jewish holidays, mm-hmm. like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and they are very, but I've never covered Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. So the other ones I mentioned are very solemn and I don't want to say more reverent, but Hanukkah is a celebration.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like really any Christmas gathering you can imagine, mm-hmm. with like themed sweaters and fan towels and food and decorations, except it's just Jewish stuff. So that's really interesting.
Oh yeah. You know, I've celebrated Hanukkah just at someone's home. We went with family and celebrated back in Michigan. So I've like had latkes, mm-hmm. and had, kind mm-hmm. of, but this was a really fun to see. You know, they played dreidel, they lit the menorah, they said a blessing and kind of did a little bit of everything. It was the first night of Hanukkah on December 6th that we.
Right. So how it works is, the Hanukkah comes from when the Maccabees were under siege, mm-hmm. from the Greeks, and the Greeks sacked the temple. And so when the Maccabees reclaimed the temple, there used to be this fire in the temple that burned all the time. And so obviously that had gone out during the siege, so they were going to relight it. That was the first thing they wanted to do, but they only had one jar of oil. Mm-hmm. And to get more oil was going to take 8 days. And so they only had 1 day's worth of oil, but that one serving, I guess, of oil lasted 8 days. Mm-hmm. So Hanukkah commemorates that. That's why it's called the Festival of Lights.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they light the candle.
Right. And so each night you get one gift. And leading up to the final night of Hanukkah, the gifts get more, I guess, significant.
Mm-hmm.
So you would get like a bigger gift at the end, whereas like the girl, Leslie,
mm-hmm.
Lindsay, yes. got some lip gloss and a hand muff,
mm-hmm.
right, for her first gift. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, there were things that I didn't know. I knew the story of Hanukkah and everything, and what had happened, but I didn't know little things like they eat fried foods like donuts and latkes because it signifies the oil that was used in the temple and everything, or things like that. I didn't know.
Yeah. Leslie Mart, who was there celebrating, said that anything that uses oil and kind of references the oil. So even like donuts are like kind of common. So that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was excellent, excellent food.
Oh yeah. I know the homemade applesauce.
So apparently you
have
my
attention.
Yeah. You can eat latkes.
Latkes.
with sour cream on it or applesauce. And they're both equally delicious.
And Mimi Van de Vender, she made an very, very good homemade applesauce. It's very delicious. She made all the food. Mm-hmm. We even had some matzo ball soup, which is a traditional Jewish food. It's not particularly associated with Hanukkah and, you know, but it was delicious too. I love good matzo ball soup.
Definitely. And she was just such your typical, like, Pauline kind of grandmother, like, come on in, like, I've got this big meal cooked, and like, I don't know, it was hard to leave. We were having such a good time.
I know, it was very, very fun hanging out. Spend time with the families and everything. It was fun.
Lauren did an excellent job with the photos. You can check those out in Monday's Daily Journal on the front page, and then some more inside. So,
Thanks, Riley. Yeah,
good time
and great story with it too. So check it out.
Well, moving on from the hard-hitting section of the news to the lighter side of things here on the Memo. Before we talk about crime reports, even though Brad Locke isn't here with us today, I want to remind you it's Star Wars Week around the world, and
kind of a big deal
again. Yes, it is. And specifically here, and we'll be looking ahead to the film's release Thursday, this Thursday night. Dennis Sid and I planning on doing a story for Thursday's paper on area people that are planning to see the film on Thursday night. So
what are you doing for it? I know you've been planning for months.
Years. Just going to the— we didn't even know about it. I guess it was like 2012 when they announced this. I don't know. But anyway, no. So just going over to the local Malco. And
where were you when you first heard there was going to be another Star Wars movie? I'm sure you know that moment.
I actually do. I knew you would. But it was a funny story because I was in a meeting actually at work, and my phone kept blowing up like constantly in my pocket. And I was like, what is— somebody better be dead. You know, it's one of those. If somebody's bothering me this much, somebody better be dead kind of reaction.
This is at the Link Center. This one,
yeah. And, you know, it was 40 texts of Disney bought Star Wars. They're making a new one, which I, you know, was like, is it April Fool's? But no.
Right.
So if you're going, if you listening are going to see the film on Thursday night, we would love to talk to you and get your story about what you're planning to do, maybe what you've been doing leading up to the release, if you've been marathoning the films with your kids, or maybe if you are a kid that's going to see it see a Star Wars movie in theater for the first time. That's a big deal too. My daughter will be in that lot, so
she's been excited too. I know she has
been excited. She's a— gosh, created a monster in that one.
What has she been doing to get ready for it?
The countdown. We went to the
Toys R Us has a countdown clock.
We went to the Dollar Tree the other day. I didn't know she knew what this was when we were in there, but we were getting gifts for like Sunday school class and stuff like that, Christmas gifts, and they have a Star Wars holiday countdown chalkboard. But to her, it was a Star Wars countdown show.
The movie, right?
I mean, they were all, the stormtroopers wearing Christmas hats and everything, and it's just a chalkboard where you're supposed to write, and you just put, and it says days until, and you're supposed to just put the number.
Sure.
But to her, it's
days until the movie.
Days until the movie comes out. So she's like, we have to get this. I was like, it's a dollar, you know, we'll get it. So every day she's been, you know, putting the new one on there, the new number. So she's excited. But anyway, yeah. And you've been watching a little with yours as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I've been trying to introduce him. And I mean, he's been watching. I don't. He's certainly nowhere near Wesley's level of interest.
That was.
But
not,
we were watching a bunch of trailers over the weekend.
That was unprecedented.
Star Wars Rebels. Yeah.
Yeah. She likes the Rebels TV show as well. Did you see him in theaters?
I'm actually a lot more familiar with the originals 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
My brother got really big into it.
So you were born in 83, weren't you?
82.
You were born in 82, so you were at least one when Jedi came out.
Yeah, so I never saw any of those at the theater. I saw them more around the time I was in high school. Like I said, my brother got really into it, and I watched them with him and really enjoyed them. I didn't really get into the originals. I saw one, not at the theater. I saw it with a friend. You rented, and I haven't even seen 2 and 3 yet.
I saw them all here. I was born in 85, so I didn't see the 4, 5, and 6 in theaters at all. But until they re-released them,
in
97,
right.
Like
remember when they did
in
that.
February, March, and April of that year, they re-released them. So that was a big deal to get to see them on the big screen then.
Yeah.
But it'll be cool seeing a brand new one. So email me, Derek.Russell, Derek.Russell at journalinc.com. With a C, not with a K, .com. If you've got Star Wars plans, there's some places that are marathoning them all day.
Wow.
Some theaters. That starts at like 3:30 a.m.
I should ask you how early you'd have to go.
I don't guess you have to go see episode 1, 2, and 3.
Or I mean, how early you'd have to start it to get all of them in?
Yeah, 3:30. With I think it's that factors in 15 to 20 minute breaks in between each film, so that it's like 3:30 something a.m.
Wow.
That's a long time in the theater.
Time.
It's like 17 hours or something. I won't be doing that.
Day.
No, I could not. I could not do that. So anyway, give me an email if you are looking ahead to that. We also want to remind you about our other podcast, Prep Rally and Double Coverage. Double Coverage will be coming at you later this week. I guess Prep Rally will as well, depending on... We haven't mentioned that Brad is out today. But
yeah, Brad's out today. I guess you've noticed.
I was going to say, if we just make no mention of it, everybody's like, where's Brad? He's fired. We legally can't talk about it.
No,
he's not.
He's not fired. Don't,
he's that's not?
The, that's how rumors start, Derek.
That's the email I got.
Oh, yeah. Brad will be back this week. He was out. I think his daughter had to get her shots done today. And anyway, so just routine stuff. He'll be back. And his newborn daughter, I guess I should specify, but... Yeah, he'll be back. So Prep Rally comes out on Wednesdays. That's him and Gene Phelps talking high school sports. It's in iTunes now. We just got in iTunes over the weekend.
Deal.
So you can get it there. Look for Prep Rally. And they've had a couple episodes. This will be the third. I'm sure they'll be talking about a lot of high school basketball this week. And then Double Coverage, of course, is Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports. That's Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and Mississippi State beat reporter Logan Lowry talking about the two schools and their sports programs, and that comes out every Thursday, and also in iTunes at Double Coverage.
Be looking for that later this week as well. Now, with Brad out, we get to have a little fun without him and talk about some crime reports. You ready to hear some, Chris? I don't have any mug shots today.
I'm ready, and Brad,
you can check these out at tipsheet.djournal.com.
We had Brad email us his recommendations.
Yes, the favorites, which these would have been mine as well. So let's just delve into what we have here. And a Yule Avenue woman said that for the last 4 years, her neighbor, by the way, these get greater with each additional one.
Like Hanukkah.
Yeah, exactly. Her neighbor has been harassing her family, and friends. He yells at them, telling them what they can and can't do on her property.
Nice.
Well, just go ahead and keep everybody in check. You're apparently the president of Yule Avenue, and you can decide who can do what and where.
Okay, so the neighbor is telling them what she can't do on her own property?
Is telling them what she can and can't do on her own property.
On her own property.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's making those governing decisions
and
for
her. And to get off his lawn.
Apparently, yes. Back in his day, they didn't have MTV. Somebody said yesterday, what was the joke? You were on the text yesterday. I don't remember what was said, but... Somebody said about somebody around here not enjoying being without electricity. And I said, back in there, they didn't even have electricity. And they liked it. A Blue Springs woman said she was headed north on County Road 504. She slowed down when she saw a deer to make sure that the animal didn't run out in front of her. Instead, a second deer ran out and she hit it instead. No. We call that Murphy's Law. That's unfortunate, yes. But I have seen that happen before. People are like, oh, deer. And you hate it, too. It's always like, I swerved to hit miss a raccoon, but I hit a, you know, something else. It's it would have been easier just to hit the raccoon.
It is, but you also should be careful, though, because, I mean, you know, deer are always, and you are often, if you see one, there's going to be more. Yes. So,
I saw three last night on Kirkwood over by Tupelo High School.
Huh.
Why? When it's 75 degrees outside in December, I don't know why we're seeing them, but
yeah,
they were in droves. I don't know. This may be my personal favorite. A woman and her daughter said they went to Kroger on Sunday afternoon when two females accosted the daughter and started calling her expletives. I assume.
Right.
Brad has censored it from us in the email. When the daughter tried to walk away, one of the females took a swing and a fight broke out in the deli section.
In the deli section.
Which, I mean, if you're going to have a fight in Kroger, that's probably the most room. You don't have to worry about the aisles tipping over and everything. So you really got some room to throw some punches in there.
Right, right. And you could, and then if you get like hit too bad or you get a black eye, you can take some salami.
Yeah, get some meat and you put it on your eye. You're good there. You're good. The mother stepped in, the mother of the girl one, stepped in to break up the fight, but admitted that she threw some punches as well.
She admitted.
I'm going to be honest with you. I threw a few in there, too. I wanted to break it up, but I also wanted to defend my daughter.
Like the guy a couple weeks ago, officer, I have been drinking.
They said this is not the first time the female suspect has tried to get the daughter to fight. Whether or not it's in the deli section, we don't know, but...
Has tried to get the daughter to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So she is
tried to provoke her.
Yeah,
they may have started over in the fruits and vegetables, but by the time they got to the deli, that's when it broke out.
But I'm just wondering, she's provoking her own daughter to fight. It's like defend the family honor. Like
No. The female suspect has tried to get the other two girls have tried to provoke the daughter before.
Ah, okay.
Not the mother who's tried to provoke her to fight. That's how rumors get started.
Yeah, that would be more interesting. Like, hey, she looked at us funny.
Hey, go fight her.
Go. This is for the family honor.
You want to eat dinner tonight? Go fight her.
You gonna let her look at us like that?
A man said while he was stopped at a red light on North Gloucester Street, he got out of the car and started twerking.
in the middle of North Gloucester Street.
At a red light, exited his vehicle, and began twerking.
How did the other drivers respond?
I don't know. We didn't get that far. For whilst he was twerking, he lost his wallet. But did not notice until later. I feel like this is a parable from the Bible or something. And lo, the man was twerking at the red light on North Gloucester Street.
Cursed is he who twerks. He shall lose his wallet.
Well, he did. I imagine it went right under the car. I guess, you know, did twerk and it hopped out of the back pocket there and onto the ground. And
So the lesson is, before you twerk, take out your wallet.
Well, here's the thing. It's not the guy in the car behind him called the police to say, this idiot just got out of his car and twerking at the red light and lost his wallet. The actual man called the police to report that he had lost his wallet whilst twerking.
You couldn't come up with the best
story. I was going to say, why don't you just say, I got out to close my gas can. Right. It was left open and lost my wallet on the road somewhere. It was, officer, it's the same guy, officer, I've been drinking.
Right. What made him just, like, what? Why you got a red light and you just
it's a good
decide
song.
To twerk all
I
of a
think,
sudden?
I think he was hearing Riley Manning's rendition of Pony. Yeah. And he just had to get out and twerk a little bit. I don't know, but that's the thing. It's not like somebody else called it in. He called it in and admitted to twerking.
Were there females in the car next to him maybe
I don't know.
Instead of trying to do a drag race or something like that, he just said, I'm going to get out and
it is unclear
twerk.
At this time. That's the thing with these. It remains a mystery. You just never know sometimes.
You ever done a Chinese fire drill?
Yes, I have done it.
We have as well.
things we probably shouldn't be admitting on the air. Yes, but I was young and needed the money. No, I'm just kidding.
One time when I was at Ole Miss, on my either my freshman or sophomore year, because my brother, 2 years younger than me, came to Ole Miss. He was there my junior year. He was up visiting and was still in high school at the time. And we were showing him around campus. And there was a cop following us. A university police officer had kind of driven with us for a while. It was at night. Not a lot of people on campus. And I don't know, we just got the crazy idea that we just kind of noticed he was following us. And so he always said, why is this cop following us? I mean, we weren't doing anything. And all of a sudden, we just had this idea. When we get to the stoplight, my brother's in the back seat, and we just told him to get out of the car and just run. And why? I don't know. That was not a very bright idea. And so he did. And so of course, the cop follows him to find out what he was doing. And then he got on to me about not leaving my brother and abandoning him because he didn't know anything on campus. And he just told the officer he was lost. And
I'm so sorry, sir. But it sounds like that was an eventful night.
Yeah, it was. I don't know what we were thinking. But I guess there's a lot of things
you live to tell the tale.
You don't know what you were thinking.
I was in high school, at least, when we did it.
I was in college.
We also know that's a story I should not tell on the air. After we're done, Mr. Producer, I will tell you my story.
I look forward
to something else. Yes.
If you want to hear this story, email Derek Russell. And also tell them your Star
Wars
story.
It's not illegal, but there may be children listening, and we should not encourage them to do the same thing.
Touché. All right, so now a word from our sponsors. Let's talk about Thrive Marketing. Thrive Marketing is a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. I use Thrive Marketing.
You do?
I do.
Yeah. Good deal. All right, well, we will be back again on Wednesday with a brand new episode. Perhaps Brad will be here, perhaps he will not.
Yeah.
Remains a mystery. We thank Lauren Wood for joining us. She had to run out for an emergency assignment, but
life of a journalist.
That's what happens in the newspaper business. So
follow us on Twitter.
We are on Twitter at DJournalMemo and of course at DJournal now. You can email us the memo at journalinc.com.
Memo at journalinc.com.
Ink with a C always. And
website memo.djournal.com. You've got all our episodes available there. You can also find them all in iTunes Store or other podcast apps. We're on Satchel, we're on Stitcher, we're on player.fm. We're ready to be in Google Play whenever they launch their podcasts.
If they have podcasts, we're there.
We're there.
We'll see you guys on Wednesday.